The Crimes of Jiang Zemin. 200,000 file for official investigation. In the past year, over 200,000 people from China have filed criminal complaints against former Communist Party leader Jiang Zemin for initiating the persecution of Falun Gong. Jiang Zemin held power as head of the Chinese Communist Party from 1989 to 2002, and then stayed on as chairman of the Central Military Commission for the following 2 years. The surge of legal proceedings against him began in May 2015, when the Supreme People's Court established a new policy which guarantees the registration and processing of all criminal and civil complaints filed by the people. These complaints are the first step in moving toward an official criminal investigation of Jiang Zemin with China's highest prosecution and investigation office. According to reports on the Minghui website, the complaints filed against Jiang include unlawful imprisonment, torture, rape, murder, genocide, and more than a dozen other crimes. Falun Dafa, also called Falun Gong, is an ancient Chinese cultivation practice based in cultural traditions of health and self-improvement. The discipline involves gentle exercise, meditation, and the guiding principles of truthfulness, compassion, forbearance. In 1999, it was estimated that about 100 million people were practicing Falun Gong in China. Ms. Zhao Hongyan is 75 years old. She lived in Dalian City, Liaoning Province. She began practicing Falun Gong in 1997 because she was ill.
I had hypertension, coronary heart disease, gastric ulcer, nephritis, neurasthenia, and a tumor in my lung. Surgery removed one lung and two ribs, and I ended up with severe anemia. I could not work properly and had to retire early. The doctors claimed there was no way for me to regain my health, so my relatives recommended that I practice Falun Gong. After 3 months of practice, I went to the hospital for an examination. They found that over 30 health indicators had returned to normal. High cholesterol, high blood viscosity, high blood pressure all returned to normal.
She returned to the workforce and followed Falun Dafa's teachings of truthfulness, compassion, forbearance. The marked improvement in her ethical standards won her awards for Model Worker and Outstanding Manager every year. In December 2000, she was detained for distributing information about Falun Gong.
At the detention center, I was forced to work 16 hours a day, selecting watermelon seeds and red beans for export. We had to fill several large bags. We were not allowed to sleep until we finished. 11 people had to squeeze on a board bed made for four. We were not allowed to read or do the exercises. Every morning, I was forced to recite the prison regulations like a criminal.
After Zhao was released from custody, the police and her former work unit initiated long-term surveillance of her and her family. She moved to Canada in 2001, but her phone calls are still being monitored to this day. Her family and friends back home have been suffering distress and mental torture for over 10 years. Fearing the growth of an independent-minded group thriving outside of communist ideology, Jiang Zemin saw Falun Dafa as a threat to his absolute power. In a memorandum to the Central Committee of the Communist Party advocating the banning of Falun Gong, he wrote, "Can't the Marxism our communists have, the materialism, the atheism we believe in, really win over that suit of stuff aired by the Falun Gong? If that were not the case, would it not be a thumping joke?" On June 10, 1999, Jiang Zemin established a secret organization called the 610 Office, whose sole purpose was to carry out his mandate to completely eliminate Falun Gong. This special agency permeated every level of government and all facets of Chinese society. State-controlled media suddenly became saturated with stories about the alleged harmful effects of practicing Falun Gong. According to Falun Dafa sources, the CCP staged an elaborate hoax in Beijing, in which alleged members of the group attempted to commit suicide in order to reach enlightenment. In 2001, the Washington Post wrote, "The crackdown has benefited from a turn in public opinion against Falun Gong since five purported members set themselves on fire in Tiananmen Square, leading many Chinese to conclude the group is a dangerous cult." Cindy Song lived in Yantai City, Shandong Province. She worked as an associate prosecutor in the Chinese legal system.
I started to practice Falun Gong in 1996. The gentle exercises made me healthy, and the teaching of truthfulness, compassion, tolerance made me happy. The crackdown on July 20, 1999 seemed unreasonable to me. So I went to Beijing immediately to appeal for my right to practice my belief. At the government office, the police were waiting to arrest Falun Gong practitioners. I was arrested and detained at my workplace. The communist officials tried to force me to give false testimony and write a guarantee statement that I would not practice Falun Gong anymore. They called many reporters over to take photos and forge reports about me in order to deceive the public. I tried to clarify the truth about Falun Gong to the local propaganda department, but I was told it was politically necessary. Later, I wrote letters to the media. Because of that, I was kidnapped by the police and detained for brainwashing sessions.
In 2001, things got even worse for Cindy. She was detected by internet police while trying to look at a Falun Dafa website on her computer.
I was kidnapped by police and taken to a labor camp. I was tortured for nearly 3 years. The policewoman at the camp told me, "You are here because you're mind. We won't set you free until we're satisfied with your thoughts." At the labor camp, because I resisted brainwashing, I was put in solitary confinement for more than 13 months. I was badly tortured. One time, I was confined in the storage room and not allowed to sleep for more than 40 days. They forced me to stand with my face up to the wall for long periods of time. The light was always on, and I could not tell day from night. The police helpers took shifts, verbally abusing and torturing me to keep me awake. They stabbed my head with a pointed weapon and pinched me with their nails. They would even slap or punch you if they thought your blink of eyes took too long a time. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, they repeated loudly a single message slandering Falun Gong, and saying things like, "You think you can live here alive without being transformed? They tried to destroy your soul. It was very evil." I knew four fellow practitioners who suffered the same torture. They went insane as a result. Another horrible thing was the forced physical examination. I was often told by police officers that young and healthy Falun Gong practitioners like me would be sent to a special prison and would never come back. When reports about organ harvesting came out, I realized.
The long-term torture left Cindy with crippled legs and impaired vision. Her body was covered in bruises. Many Falun Dafa practitioners died due to torture in the Shandong Province No. 2 female labor camp.
Violence cannot change people's belief. I feel pity for those police officers who carried out the tortures. At the beginning, some of them were reluctant to participate. However, the communist regime systematically teaches and entices the police, causing them to lose the morality. The Ministry of Justice teaches courses on how to torture Falun Gong practitioners. I knew a police officer named Chen. One time she told me that she could not eat well or sleep well and that she did not want to continue doing such a job. Later on, she was sent to the legal ministry for training. When she returned, she told me that she was shocked by the torture methods taught there. Things like punching needles through the legs. Eventually, she became actively involved in torturing Falun Gong practitioners. She tortured people with a kind of satisfaction. The Communist Party turned her into a ghost.
It's been 100,000 years since you have come here from afar. With your mind wiped clean, you cannot now remember who you are. I have watched you drink the poison. I have seen you close your eyes. I have heard the silent whispers of your lost and lonely cries.
Stories began pouring in about brainwashing sessions being held in state institutions, workplaces, and neighborhood committees all across China in an attempt to force practitioners to renounce their belief. By 2005, the UN Special Rapporteur on Torture estimated that 66% of all reported victims of torture in China were Falun Gong practitioners. In 2007, an investigative report called Bloody Harvest by human rights experts David Kilgore and David Mattis was released, citing overwhelming evidence of the large-scale killing of Falun Gong practitioners for their organs. Wang Junhua lived in Mishane City, Heilong, Jiang Province. She began practicing Falun Gong in 1996.
修炼后,我体弱的身体完全康复了,心情快乐。After practicing, my body became healthy and I was very happy. For 19 years, I have not spent a penny on medical expenses. More importantly, I understand the meaning of life. It is to be a person of high morality, in accordance with the principle of truthfulness, compassion, forbearance.
Wang was a single mother with a 6-year-old child. She used Falun Dafa's teachings to guide her daily life and to raise her daughter.
One time my daughter asked me to buy her favorite food. I told her, I read stories in the newspaper that children in the poor regions can't afford schooling. If you don't buy this food today, we can save the money. Day by day, we can save it up and donate it to poor children so that they can go to school. My daughter happily agreed. In 1998, there was a huge flood, and I also donated to help those people who suffered. I did that because Falun Dafa taught me how to be a good person who can benefit others. I felt it was the most fulfilling time in my life. Then in 1999, Jiang Zemin launched the persecution of Falun Gong, using lies to deceive people. In the past 14 years, I have been kidnapped 3 times and sentenced to labor camp 2x for over 4 years in total. The remaining 9 years, I was forced to live away from my family. My father passed away due to sorrow and pressure.
Through the labyrinth of the ages, I have found an ancient scroll, and with the sacred words of sages, all the mysteries.
在被非法关押期间,我年幼的女儿因无人照料,值得有。My
sister took my daughter to visit me in prison. Just before they left, my daughter took out a comb from her pocket and said, Mom, please do up my hair one more time, At that moment, my heart was broken into pieces. I cried while I did her hair. My daughter was crying, my sister was weeping. Even the police could not bear the scene. They turned away and looked out the window.
I will not leave here without you. I would die here where I stand. Gods may shake the earth and heavens. I will not let go your hand.
At the Wanzhou labor camp, Wang was forced to do slave labor for about 16 hours a day. She was often beaten and shocked with electric batons. She was transferred to Sigamu labor camp because she refused to give up her belief. She was kept in solitary confinement and fed chicken feed.
有一次，警察把我和几个法轮功学员的双手双脚分别。One time, several fellow practitioners and I were shackled on a bed for over a month. Our hands and feet were tied up. We had to eat, urinate, and defecate on the bed. We were also injected with unknown drugs. When we were released from the torture, we could hardly walk. I went on a hunger strike to protest the persecution. The police barbarically force-fed me. They also added unknown drugs, which caused headache, nausea, and vomiting. I was handcuffed to a bed, and they inserted a feeding tube into my nose and stomach. They did not pull the tube out afterward. One time, the police kept the feeding tube in my nose and stomach for 5 days. My throat swelled up. I suffered miserably. When I was released from the labor camp, they made me pay for the feedings. It cost me over 1,000 yuan, 90 yuan per feeding. One night in 2000, it was snowing very heavily. Police forced us to stand outside as punishment for our hunger strike. We were then taken to a place where male policemen were waiting with tools in their hands. The labor camp head rebuked us and threatened us. Then the police swarmed us. They beat, threw, and kicked every practitioner to the ground. Then they brutally force-fed us. Beating, cursing, and screaming filled the air. Blood and feeding liquid was flowing on the ground. The violent force-feeding lasted for 2 hours. Practitioners began to vomit. The police did not allow us to vomit on the ground, but forced us to vomit into the collars of our fellow practitioners.
At the end of 2001, Wang was released on the brink of death. She resumed practicing her Falun Dafa exercises and recovered. In 2011, she was kidnapped again and sentenced to 2 years at a woman's forced labor camp in Inner Mongolia. She suffered beatings, corporal punishment, sleep deprivation. 4 of her fellow practitioners were tortured to death.
在被迫害中，我生不如死的时候，也曾反复思索。When I was tortured in the labor camps, I repeatedly thought to myself, Falun Dafa requires us to always think of others, to be unselfish. If people are not allowed to adhere to the law, then what is the meaning of life? There was a ferocious policewoman named Liu Yadong who tortured me to give up my belief. I looked at her thinking, if I give up my faith, if there is no moral discipline, I would become someone as evil as you. How terrible that would be. I would rather die.
Zhao, Cindy, and Wang left China and moved to Canada. They believed that if it wasn't for the strong support of loved ones back home and the persistent inpouring of phone calls to Chinese prisons from overseas practitioners, they would not be alive today. For 16 years, it has been the dream of these three women to bring Zhang Zemin to justice. In the summer of 2015, they each filed criminal complaints with the Chinese Supreme Procuratorate for the crimes that were committed against them. Over 50 other practitioners from Vancouver who suffered the same ordeals have also filed complaints. Zhao, Cindy, and Wong work hard every day to help raise awareness of the persecution that is still going on in China. And every year, on the July 20th anniversary of the persecution, they join fellow practitioners for a candlelight vigil in front of the Vancouver Chinese Consulate. They meditate quietly and remember all those who have been killed back home.
I will light the way with candles, leave a torch at every turn, and for the heart that leans to goodness, an eternal flame will burn. There'll be clues among the embers, there'll be whispers in the trees, truth, compassion, and forbearance, my lost angel, look for these.
According to reports on the Minghui website, more and more people in China are refusing to take part in the persecution. Thousands have signed petitions supporting the complaints against Jiang Zemin, and politicians and community leaders all across the world are standing up in support of justice. Congresswoman Ileana Ross-Leighton is chair of the U.S. House Foreign Affairs Committee. She recently introduced a resolution to the U.S. House of Representatives, which calls for an immediate end to the forced organ harvesting of Falun Gong practitioners and an immediate end to the persecution. According to updated reports by David Kilgore, former Crown Prosecutor and Canadian Secretary of State for Asia Pacific, and David Mattis, human rights lawyer and recipient of the Order of Canada, organ harvesting of Falun Gong practitioners in China is now a billion-dollar business, with each body, according to the prices listed, being worth about $500,000. On June 13, 2016, Resolution 343 was unanimously passed. Congresswoman Ileana gave a floor speech at the Assembly.
The Chinese regime's brutal repression and human rights violations are well known, but it is the horrific treatment of the Falun Gong practitioners that is particularly egregious, yet does not receive the attention that it deserves. Followers of Falun Gong are among China's most vulnerable to state-sanctioned abuse, which leaves them as likely victims to this ghoulish practice. But by passing this resolution, sir, we can send a message to the Chinese regime that we condemn this continued practice of persecution of Falun Gong practitioners, and it is sickening and unethical practice must stop, especially harvesting organs from non-consenting individuals. We cannot allow these crimes to continue.
Although it is difficult to predict any action the courts may take regarding the charges filed against Jiang Zemin, the walls of justice have been closing in on him ever more tightly in recent years. Lawsuits have been filed against Jiang and his associates in over 30 countries, with both Spain and Argentina issuing arrest warrants on charges of genocide and crimes against humanity. Still more countries have litigation prepared to serve these people the moment they step upon their soil. And inside China, over 100 members of Jiang's faction have already been put behind bars since current leader Xi Jinping began his anti-corruption campaign in 2012. Sheng Xue is an award-winning Canadian journalist and chair of the Federation for a Democratic China. She gave a speech in Vancouver at a Su Jiang Zemin forum in August 2015. She talked about the CCP's history of persecuting its own people during atrocities such as the anti-rightist movement, the Cultural Revolution, and the Tiananmen student massacre.
Jiang Zemin is the perpetrator of the persecution, and we should bring him to justice. You also have to realize that it is the Communist Party system that produced Jiang Zemin, and Jiang relies on the system to persecute. As long as the system is still working, the victims won't be just Falun Gong practitioners. In the past 16 years, Falun Gong practitioners' persistent resistance has brought sustaining hope to Chinese society. Filing complaints against Jiang, to me, is like a breakthrough of the CCP's tyranny. From the beginning of the CCP taking power, disaster came one after another. About 80 million people abnormally died during their reign. We need to think of those 80 million people. They will never have a voice again. Falun Gong practitioners who are still being brutally persecuted are filing complaints inside China against the former head of the Communist Party. What a great deed. It represents courage and justice. There is no one like Falun Gong practitioners. They are using the law to defend their freedom of belief. And they use their real names to bring the perpetrator to justice despite undergoing persecution. This is unprecedented. It will be recorded in the history books.
Jiang Zemin vowed to eliminate Falun Gong within 3 months. 16 years later, Falun Dafa is still thriving in China and has now spread to over 100 other countries across the world. Meanwhile, Jiang Zemin is now facing 200,000 criminal complaints filed against him. And that number is growing daily. Wang Junhua.
江泽民发起的这场对法轮功的迫害，其惨烈程度在人类历史上是罕见的。Jiang
Zemin launched the persecution of Falun Gong. The brutality is beyond words. What I have described is just the tip of the iceberg. In the past 16 years of persecution, how many families have been broken? How many family members have died? In my country, tens of thousands of my fellow practitioners and their families are still suffering painful torment, torture, humiliation, separation, fear, harassment. We filed complaints against Jiang Zemin in order to end this unprecedented catastrophe in human history as soon as possible, to uphold justice and remind people of the law that good is rewarded with good and evil is met with evil.
This documentary was produced by Hershey Hu, Carrie Foster, Ian Dunlop, Corey Wong, and Fanny Chu, with support and assistance from CJSF 90.1 FM in Burnaby, British Columbia, and the Community Radio Fund of Canada. Music, An Ode to Compassion, by Ms. Yen Chun, and Returning to the Ancient Home, by Carrie Foster.